Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, all that pop culture goodness. And gentlemen, start your engines, because we've got a doozy for you today. We're talking about Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. I'm going to be your host this evening, or day. I don't know when you're listening to this, but maybe it's a nice sunny Sunday and the engines are roaring and you're trying to get to that finish line. Anyway, I'm Brian, and with me, blazing down the backstretch, it's Kyle.
Yeah, I've said forever I would sell out in an instant, and this is an open call to any corporation. I will brand, I will wear your brand, I will promote you, whatever you want.
This is not a bit.
Give me money.
It's not a joke.
No, I'll wear the jacket, I'll drive the car, let's roll.
I'll hawk any brand you got.
I want my George Foreman grill, baby.
Coming around turn two in the Marvel car, it's Ryan.
Oh, I love it. Man, if I were to rank that intro's ass on a scale of 100, I'd say it's easily 94.
It's got to be at least 94 asses.
At least.
And rolling down pit road, it's the Red Hot Chili Peppers car there. It's Sean? Sean? Oh, no, I think Sean might not have qualified for this one.
I love it.
But I do believe he will be commentating from behind the scenes on this one. So,
yeah, he'll be on the radio.
Up in the booth.
Well, we're driving. Sean will be radioing in.
Exactly.
He's what I like to always think of him in this podcast as, the Michael Clark Duncan figure.
Yeah,
like I always look at Sean and think Michael Clark Duncan.
To me, it's very on brand that he's going to radio it in, because I feel like he's always phoning it in anyways.
Oh!
And with Sean, flying shots when he can't defend himself, it's the best time.
Let's go to Sean in the booth.
I'm a big old hairy American winning machine, so go ahead and bugger off.
All right. Well, without further ado, I say we just get right into this thing. I have a synopsis that I've written, and break down the movie Talladega Nights in case you haven't seen it, whatever rock you've been living under.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll do that now. Ricky Bobby is abandoned by his wild drunk dad, but clings to the brain-breaking wisdom, if you ain't first, you're last. He grows up, joins a NASCAR pit crew, and lucks into a race, finishing third and launching his career as America's favorite speed freak. Ricky becomes a NASCAR superstar alongside his best friend Cal Naughton Jr., snags a trophy wife, and lives the dream. That is, until a suave, gay, French driver named Jean Girard shows up and eats Ricky's lunch on and off the track. Ricky wrecks bad at Charlotte, thinks he's on fire, and fakes paralysis so hard he stabs himself in the leg. He loses his wife to Cal, his job, his house, and is demoted to delivering pizzas on a damn bicycle. It's the American dream in reverse. Ricky's long-lost dad reappears to coach him back to greatness using tough love, insane stunts, and mild emotional abuse. But after a weird driving lesson montage, including a cougar in the car, Dad bails again, leaving Ricky with some accidental wisdom. With a pep talk and a little tongue from assistant-turned-love-interest Susan, Ricky returns to NASCAR for one last race. Cal refuses to sabotage him, Ricky and Girard wreck in style, and they literally foot race to the finish line like goddamn legends. Though disqualified, Ricky wins back his pride, makes peace with Cal and Girard, and reunites his family with a plan to get thrown out of Applebee's as the perfect ending to the perfect day. And somewhere, a cougar purrs in approval.
That's my cougar impression.
That is an apt summary. It is obviously a pretty simplistic story, but it's the meat and potatoes around that framework that really make this sing. But great representation of it.
Yeah, I boiled it down to its bare essence.
Yeah, I would underline daddy issues heavily.
Daddy issues, big part of this. Every character has them.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But I think we're going to do our normal five-category rating here with character, story, style, entertainment value, and direction. And we're going to have Sean up in the broadcast booth adding his scores, and we'll get that total at the end. But our first category is characters. Who wants to start it off?
I'll jump in. All right, so wait, we're giving this out of five?
Out of five.
I mean, what I said I'll start us off, but really, what can you fucking say? It's like last week with the cast that we had, you would expect a movie of this caliber. And this week with this cast and the subject matter somehow exceeds in every aspect on almost every level. This is prime Will Ferrell. I think this is the first pairing with him and John C. Reilly, right?
I think you're right.
So, I mean, that's really kind of the start of that chemistry, which is a very deep well. I'm prime Will Ferrell fanboy material. I fucking love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I found like it's a very love-hate thing. There's people, he's not a middle-of-the-road character. Like, people either love him or hate him, which is just weird to me because I think he's one of the funniest and he does a lot of his great classic shtick here. And also, man, just Gary fucking Cole, dude.
Yeah.
Crushing it. Like, to be so iconic as Bill Lumberg and to also just be Reese Bobby is...
The range.
I don't know, man.
The range.
It's fantastic. Jane Lynch with long hair, just making it... It's odd because she melts into the character because, like, you're not used to it. It's good shit. And I love me some little Andy Richter when he was really giving it his go, man. I was Team Richter.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. And of course, man, Sacha Baron Cohen. This is a five for me, dude. Characters. They're all fantastic. They're a little one-dimensional, but it's a comedy. They still have a lot of fun with all of that. They're all interesting and exciting to watch. They have their own unique qualities, and I love every fucking person in this. So full five for me on this one.
Hell yeah. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
I have so many thoughts, and I have to really think on when am I wanting to drill on a point real hard, if it's going to be in characters or story. And I think I will save it. I'm going to save it for story. Characters, I'm in agreement with Kyle. I think this is a fantastic cast. Somebody who Kyle did not mention, who is in here very briefly, and this shows you just like what a cast this is Amy Adams, who is not used mm-hmm. nearly enough, but even like the yeah. bits she's in, she gives 100% to, and like really like her speech getting Ricky Bobby back into it is fantastic and so well she delivered. Gets
the best monologue of the movie.
Yeah. Leslie Bibb is also fantastic. And is underrated
man. Always.
In everything. Always. Like she just does not get enough credit. So I'm so happy with her here. And goddamn, this is John C. Reilly, man. This is the movie. I was already like, Boogie Nights put John C. Reilly on the mm-hmm. map, but I think this is what sold me. Is like, yep, I'm 100% a John C. Reilly fan now. This is what range to be able to play like such like serious but eccentric characters and then go to like what is like a dumb rock of a human. But, like, finding ways to make him lovable in the same way like Steve Carell did with Brick, but is also entirely different than that.
Yeah.
I love these characters. I think it's great. Five. Five, five, five. What about you?
Five, five, five. Hey, let's go to Sean in the booth.
This cast of characters are a winner. They win. It is what they do. It is a five for me.
Oh, damn. Another five. Look at that. Okay. I have to agree with everything that Sean said and what Kyle said and what Ryan said. And there's little more for me to touch on here other than the fucking cameos in this movie
mm-hmm.
are. So if you were watching NASCAR in 2006, this movie gives you everything you would have wanted from that. You get your Dale Earnhardt Jr. You get all of the NBC and Fox broadcasters in this movie. I mean, Rob Riggle shows up for a little bit, and it's like, it's such a non-thing because it's like, oh, fucking Rob Riggle. But also, hell yeah, Rob Riggle. And Jack McBrayer doing his Jack McBrayer thing. It's delightful. It's a five. Talladega Nights is going to sweep the characters category.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Next up is story. And you know what? I think, Sean, we're going to throw it back to you in the booth and have you kick this one off.
This is a story about winning, not having a very good dad, and then when your friend doesn't become your friend very good, by the end, you become his friend again and tell Frenchie to go back and eat some crepes and get on out of your sport. It's going to be a five for me. And much like Big Red Gum, if you don't chew it and if you don't like it, then fuck you.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. Another five. Wow.
Whoa.
What do you have story to say to five. That, Ryan?
I think that might be generous for story. That said, I am very curious as to hear Sean's thoughts on this for real. It's hard to counter him, but I don't want to be a dick. I'll let Kyle do that. He's already being contentious with Sean tonight. I really admire the story. It's simple, like I said, to a point. It's just a mechanism for great joke delivery, and the joke delivery is so good. But what I will say is I think how they handle NASCAR as a subject in the humor and the story is done in a way that's very smart. I think a lesser director, and this is not about direction, but also about like the story and everything. Lesser departments would have handled this movie in a very different way that maybe talked down or made fun of those people. But this is like that rare movie that kind of like gets to make fun of, poke fun at, have fun with this culture. And yet like you go to this culture and they love this movie too. And apparently like when they were shooting, there's a lot of behind the scenes stories, but, apparently a lot of the NASCAR drivers, when they were doing these cameos with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, would like input jokes for like them NASCAR to incorporate specific. And be like, yeah, they like this would be actually a lot funnier and actually hit specifically to this thing and kind of lean them in a way that made it all feel more authentic. And I think that's like across the board story too. So as simplistic as the story is, I do think there's something that kicks us up a gear more than just being good. But I think five is too generous still. So it's a four.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Hua is next.
I'll go next. I'll say I agree with everything Sean said, which could have been anything at this point. Who really knows?
He's wild
talking so gamble. Much in the booth. I really hope it's just five and after that. But yeah, I agree with what Ryan said too, and that it is a very simple, straightforward story. I mean, they pitched this thing to studios as Will Ferrell as a NASCAR driver. That's it. It was a 6-word pitch, and they had a bidding war. And even Will Ferrell, when they were writing it, he was like, they were real adamant up front that their goal wasn't to make fun of NASCAR, but to have fun with NASCAR. And I think they actually nailed that. And that might be something more for style and tone and whatnot in a little bit. But the story itself, very simple, straightforward, easy to follow kind of story, which is kind of what you want in a comedy. Especially one with these obscene characters like this. If the story gets too convoluted, it detracts from the humor. All that to say, I'm also giving it a five. I fucking love this movie.
Wow. Well, I didn't want to feel like a dick, but maybe I will.
Do it.
I'm not even harsh on it. I think both you guys said everything that I would say. We just took it different ways. Because I think the story overall is pretty bare bones, but they have a lot of fun with it. And I think that that's fair, because like you said, Bri, you don't want it to get overextended or overwrought, because then it just gets bogged down and confusing. This is a structure, and I assume, too, based on the chemistry with, like, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly especially, you can tell there is a lot of, like, improv and ad-lib going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In these scenes. So I imagine, overall, they were just given, like, a very broad description. I doubt most of this was, like, explicitly written out. I'm sure there were jokes written, and then they just bounced off of that, too. But all that to say, like, overall, I think story, it's exciting, it's intriguing, but it's predictable, which works for its benefit. But I'm a solid 3. I think it's good. I think it's fair, but it's nothing mind-blowing, which is where I would start to ramp up. So
I've got a thought, and your 3 is perfectly valid. But for the story, I will also say, and it just, if we're going beyond just like what's worked into the script too, I think there is more than just like the bare bones script, which I'm with you on. There is like this smartness and cleverness to like how they incorporate the advertisement stuff. Like this kind of, we're not going to make dumb characters, but we're going to make characters specifically that praise winning. They're not dumb. They are just like so caught up in winning, and that is it. And it's, I think there's more going on behind the scenes than just that, but man, it's also tied up in direction too, because like why I think this story is so good is because I've seen Adam McKay, sorry, his name slipped my mind. I've seen what he's done recently, and it's lost any of the subtleties. And like one of the things I really like about Talladega Nights is if you squint real hard, this is a George W. Bush analogy. And Ricky Bobby is George W. Bush. And like one of the kids is named Walker, which is Bush's middle name. Of course, like Walker, Texas Ranger. But like, and then we're talking about daddy issues and falling in your father's footsteps and having to live up to things and be a winner at any cost. Like this is a takedown on George W. Bush that is so subtle, in a way that Adam McKay, I don't think, has in him anymore. Any subtlety, it's gone after Don't Look Up. So that, for me, just to clarify my 4 and why I'm there, I think that's why it puts me at a 4.
That's, sorry. Yeah.
I think that's better here theory, than in direction.
Ryan, when he goes real deep into stuff, and yeah, I like that.
I actually love that analysis, and I never would have seen it if you hadn't said that. But it makes sense.
You didn't sway me, but I enjoyed theory. Your argument. But I stay 3.
Perfect.
Next up is style. So the style, the tone, how this fits within its genre. Music is included in this too. Kyle, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so to bounce back from where I was, I'll come out the gate. 5. This nails everything. 100%. Gets everything perfectly right. I think the fact that they treated this as the love letter to NASCAR gave them so much more extra access to NASCAR things. Do the fact that like Wonder Bread is like openly advertising and some of the most ridiculous stuff, Old Spice, some of the things John C. Reilly says while wearing an Old Spice branded fireproof uniform is insane to me. They're really crashing real NASCARs. They do not fucking hold back. They get so involved in it and so bred in it. It's the best sports movie of that kind ever. Because like so many of them, they try, but they feel fake. Like The Replacements feels fake. Basketball movies feel fake. They had real fans. These are real fucking racetracks, dude. They commit to the bit. Style, perfect. 5.
I'm honestly right there with you. I think as somebody who was probably at the height of their NASCAR watching career in 2006, this hit every single note. The involvement from actual drivers and the actual commentating crews. They make a joke where they cut to commercial in the middle of a giant crash, and it's the funniest bit of the movie.
I did laugh out loud.
If you were watching NASCAR in 2006, this is the kind of shit that they would take the worst opportunities to go to commercial, and they make a joke about it in the film. I love it. I love it so much. And like you said, Wonder Bread, Old Spice, Perrier, they didn't get charged for product placement in this movie. They did end up promoting it through Old Spice and Wonder Bread promoted the movie through back end deals, but they did not have to pay to be in the movie. And Perrier wasn't required to take any action other than just be in the movie.
It's beautiful. And
then like Will Ferrell would show up to so many public appearances in the Wonder Bread uniform. Mm-hmm. So like not even just on the screen, but in life, Wonder Bread and Old Spice got so much promotion out of this for absolutely no dollars. It's probably one of the best brand deals in history.
I think I remember them showing up to the MTV Movie Awards in the outfits, like promoting this movie. And that's when I first heard, I was like, what? They're doing this? What? Okay.
Yeah. And this is also, I mean, this is 2006 was NASCAR was the fastest growing sport in the country. I think this movie actually helped propel it to another level, which it has since died down from for understandable reasons. But it's interesting that the timing on this was right when NASCAR was hitting its peak popularity. It's when Will Ferrell was the most Will Ferrell, and just God damn, I adore this movie. It's my favorite sports movie. It's my favorite Will Ferrell movie. It's probably my most quoted movie of all time. So I don't have much to say bad about it. And also, just because it's part of this category, the music in this movie fucking rips. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect combination of the modern dad rock of the time, and you get some like Waylon Jennings in there and some older hits that you would assume that you would associate with the NASCAR community. It's a five. It's definitely a five. What do you think, Ryan?
I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to agree with you, and I don't have much to add. Everything you said is completely right. I love this movie. I think, and to echo everything, like I do think it really satirizes NASCAR so smartly and just in a specific way that is not demeaning or shitty. But like it really, it's understanding, and like that's the best kind of comedies. But on top of that, I think this is a visually interesting movie. They do a lot with the camera stuff. They do a lot of visual gags that I think are very funny. There's a lot of stunts. There's actually like some really good stunts in this movie too for a comedy. Like they pull off some impressive little car crashes. Like of course the big flip that sends him out running in his underwear. Asking for help from Tom Cruise, but also like the driving with the blindfold on, crashing into the cars and then into the house. I'm like,
the house
that one-er is pretty fucking good. It's a good little long take, and it's a very, very good visual gag. So yeah, right there with you. I think it's a five.
All right, now let's see if Sean's gonna be a bummer up in the booth.
This movie did a fantastic job completely encapsulating the feeling that I got as a child and into my late teens watching NASCAR. The tone, the feeling, it was all there. They did a killer job. The genre, nailed it. Sports, got it. Comedy, all the way home. It is a number one, because if it wasn't, it would be a zero. This is a five from me. No duds here.
Holy cow, another five. That's amazing.
This might be the highest rated movie yet. Perfect
score so far from Sean. I can't believe it.
You better start.
The next category is entertainment value. And, well, I don't think this is going to be any surprise for me based on what I kind of shot my load on the last category there by saying what I said about how much I adore this movie. It's obviously going to be a five for me for entertainment value. And that's not just my enjoyability, but like, it cleaned up in the box office too. I mean, it opened number one. It's opening weekend. It made $163 million on a $72.5 million budget. So it's like 225% return. And obviously propelled the career of Adam McKay beyond, you know, he was already head writer at SNL for a few years and then did Anchorman, but this just took it up to go on after this and do Step Brothers and then the other stuff he did after that. But Step Brothers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a five for me. And I would love to hear what Sean thinks up at the booth.
Thanks, Brian. This movie's funny as hell. It's quotable as hell. And I just want to keep watching it. So, anyways, that's going to be a five for me. Back to you.
He also found it very entertaining. That's a five.
I am shocked. Shocked, yeah. I tell you.
He has nothing bad to say so far. That's incredible.
I wonder if he's saving it for direction, and then he's going to be all of a sudden like,
he's
going to
shit all over Adam McKay.
I don't have to wait for Sean to shit all over him, because strangely enough, you know, you would think a comedy movie would make me laugh more. And it did, man. This movie made me laugh throughout. I set it up!
You guys keep trying to fake me out here.
Oh, we're fucking around here today, boys. No, entertainment value. Absolutely a fucking five. It'd been a while since I'd seen this movie. I honestly forgot some parts of this movie, which is always a nice surprise. Like when you forget a whole bit and then you get to experience it again. A couple of times it happened to me in this movie. Good fucking stuff. Some of the other ones are classics. Like, Brian, you said this might be your most quoted movie. Definitely, I say, Don't You Put That Evil on Me, Ricky Bobby, a lot. One of my most quoted.
Yeah.
One of my favorite jokes of all time in this movie is at the end when Reese finally shows up to the fucking ticket booth, gets his tickets, and it's such a sweet moment. And I literally did not see it coming the first time. Immediately turns around, starts to scalp him. Such a beautiful, beautiful touch, man. So many just brilliant, absolute, perfect little things, man. I laughed out loud so many fucking times. Just dude, again, cannot stress enough the chemistry of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Absolute lightning in a bottle putting those two together. And every time they interact it's just electrifying. And I want to give a special shout out. We didn't mention her in characters. Every time Molly Shannon was on screen, I was fucking laughing.
Oh, yeah. She's delightful.
Yeah. She is so great, especially at the end when she's real drunk and just like she flirts with those men. Just god damn, dude. She's so crushing good. It. She's playing like a proto version of Catherine Hahn in Step Brothers when she's the wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really like Molly Shannon in this one. And it makes me miss Molly Shannon. I love her.
She's not dead, just no, FYI but you don't for see our listeners, much. Because maybe that tone got dark there at the end.
Give my girl work.
Bring back Molly. But yeah, absolute five out of five.
Boom.
This is crazy for this.
This is insane.
I mean, but it's for a comedy, so you judge it as a comedy. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I hate revisiting comedies because generally, they're the ones I find hold up the worst. More often than not, it's like, honestly, drug addiction or something where, like, it's never going to be as good as the first time with comedies, typically. Talladega Nights is the exception to the rule there, I think, because I laugh just as much when I've seen this recently. I've honestly seen this movie maybe dozens of times, and it still works, and it shouldn't, seeing it that many times, but it's still so good, and it's just, I think it is peak ridiculousness. God, you're right, they found just a fucking gold mine in John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. Their relationship here is not only, like, just really fucking funny, and they play off each other very well, but it's also really sweet and kind of endearing, and I love maybe the dinner scenes, aces, but, like, one scene that doesn't get talked about is, like, all of the times when they're fighting and Cal's moved into the house, and, like, they keep, like, fighting each other, and, like, what? I'm mad at you. I'm not trying to, like, talk or have anything. Yeah, but it's, like, much nicer this way, right?
It's like, pull you back in.
He calls to ask if his house is haunted, and then it ends with the bit. It's so, just so fucking good, dude.
It is. I love it. I love all of this. Entertainment value. It's a five. I'm right there with everybody. God, this is peak Adam McKay, peak Will Ferrell. It's so good.
Before we would move on to direction, while we're still in entertainment value, I mean, this is the perfect time to get it out. It's a comedy movie. We got to talk about our favorite bits. And I feel like, you know, similar to what Ryan was, one of the ones I love is when Cam and Ricky Bobby meet back up at the final race. And like they're coming at each other hot, and then Ricky Bobby apologizes, and then
I'm sorry,
Cal. Well, I don't know how to take this. I'm still angry, so I'm going to stay here until I figure it out. I love that. Just staying at that level.
Ricky's passing you. You think he's passing me in my subconscious? No, for real. In real life, he's passing you right now. That's happening.
That's a great bit. Sean, what's one of your favorite bits?
It's got to be when Walker and Texas Ranger verbally abuse Chip.
That is a really good one, too.
That's a pretty good one. That one.
Yeah.
I really love when Leslie Bibb yells out that she's been slaving over this all day, and they cut to the dinner of Domino's, Taco Bell, KFC. It just tickles my fancy. But no, I think my favorite bit is the is when they're talking about Jesus.
And
Ricky Bobby prefers baby Jesus, and then you get this beautiful improv moment from John C. Reilly where he goes and describes how he pictures his Jesus in like four or five different ways, and the one they use in the movie I think is probably my second favorite. I really like the Leonard Skinner with the angel band, and he's in the front row hammered drunk.
That's
tuxedo jacket. So you know he likes to party, have a good time. Yeah.
Also, yeah, I love that bit.
It's really good. And then Will Ferrell's just insistence on going back to the baby Jesus and then ramping it up each time.
And then, yeah, even when they're at Applebee's later and he's like, just learned about shapes and colors from your baby Einstein. I'm like, this is so good.
That when you get specific about the weight, dear 8 pounds, 4 ounce, beautiful bell, baby Jesus. That's a fucking great little bit.
He was a man. He had a beard.
the two shithead fucking kids we haven't even talked about.
Walker and Texas Ranger. What the fuck?
Love them.
They are so good. Much.
I quote Texas Ranger so much.
I think both of this them? Time, maybe my favorite one was when Granny slaps him and the oldest one goes, "You gonna break us like a couple of wild horses."
I love one I actually quote all the time is when they're running back from the church and they're yelling anarchy, anarchy. And then Texas Ranger says, "I don't know what it is, but I love it." I say that all the time.
Yes. 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 I mean, going back to the dinner table, everybody goes to like the, "I'm gonna come at you like a spider monkey" all the time. But like, I love the other little ones that the kids get in, like, "Greatest Generation, my ass. Tom Brokaw's a punk." It is like little things like this.
Even unprovoked, they open their introduction and they're like, "Yeah, we spent the day throwing chipped war medals in the creek." Like, just absolute dickhead children.
Oh, they're the worst. And then like that
I said,
post-credit
scene.
"You had
a lumpy butt," and she yelled at me and I pissed my pants.
"I've been sitting in my pee pants all day." Now, I love the post-credit scene too, where they're just like, "Oh yeah, moral ambiguity. Hallmark of all 20th century American literature."
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. This movie is written so goddamn well. Entertainment value might... Can I retroactively change it to a 6?
Because
I'm
going to
change it. I'm
going to
use a bonus point here. Because we didn't even talk about this, but if you've got the DVD, it comes with a grand commentary track, as all these like the other guys' Adam McKay movies did. This is only topped by maybe the Ben Affleck Armageddon commentary. And the Anchorman one is also very good too. But this one, if you have the unrated DVD, it has all of the main characters come back and do a 30-year anniversary retrospective on this movie.
That's
pretending
amazing.
That they are 30 years in the future.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
It's a really good bit that they keep up for so fucking long.
Well, so, I know what I'm doing tonight.
6 out of 5. Only on the unrated one. The other one just gets Adam McKay and the writer talking, and it's so good. It's so good, but not as good.
I have both of them, so I'll definitely fire up the unrated. Which, actually, I should mention, I did watch the unrated this time, and I don't think I've ever actually watched it before. I've owned it for years, but I think I've only ever watched the theatrical version until this week. And then,
we're stretching a bit. We're in entertainment value. I was maybe going to do it in director or allude to it, but which one do you prefer, having watched both?
I think I still prefer the theatrical. I think some of the bits go on a little too long in the director. And I really like the scene when he's like 5 at the convenience store. He's got to want to go fast. And they completely cut that from the unrated
version. I also prefer the theatrical cut. So that's the one I watched this time.
Yeah.
Same, but I was a sucker for the unrated cuts. If you put it out, I would buy the theatrical, and then I would buy an unrated version too, just for that 1 minute. I was so broken.
The unrated version does have the one scene where, after the race at the end of the movie, Carly meets Susan as Ricky's new girl, as after she's trying to get back together with Ricky, and it's just a really funny scene where they just keep flashing each other, and it's hilarious.
Oh.
How does that fall in the Bechdel test?
Oh, this movie does not pass the Bechdel test at all, in no way, shape, or form.
No.
But it ages surprisingly well.
It's honestly, yeah, not too bad.
Like, there's a couple of R words in there. As a
person who's not R word friendly anymore, both instances I did laugh pretty hard at. The first one especially got me real good. I forget even what the context was.
It was talking about when Ricky first gets in the car and Cal comes to the window and he's like, remember our teacher used to make fun of us for playing Matchbox cars?
That's right. And I was like, all right, that's a good fucking joke. I did like that one a lot.
Yeah.
So, goddamn.
But yeah, it's also their treatment of Jean Girard is, I would say, appropriate because they never say anything bad about him. They frame any kind of homophobia on the people who are actually experiencing it. They do a really good job of making the people who are not cool with it be the bad guys in the scene.
Yeah, and even then, to a certain extent, like, he wins them over once he starts winning, going back to like that.
You see people,
they're not
wearing his
dumb
merch.
People. They are just so obsessed with winning. And I think that's even like maybe part of the point is like these backwards people and their homophobia, they'll overlook it. If he's a winner, overlook that. That's fine. He's a winner. We get that. We don't understand homosexuality.
Well,
we
can do whatever the hell he
winning.
Wants, Ian.
We love this guy now. And it's, I think it's, again, subtle commentary from Adam McKay before he forgot what subtle means.
Let's talk about Adam McKay then. The final category is direction. And Ryan, you already started, so continue.
Yeah, I just, you know, because I've already spoken a lot and I've kind of talked around Adam McKay a lot, so much already. This is a 5. I think this is maybe his best directed feature. I might have some partiality to like certain bits in other movies, but like this one, I think from start to finish is the best product doing what it's doing. I've got issues with all of his stuff. I think this one I have the least amount of issues with. I think this really is where he sings. He gets it. He gets that perfect line to walk in so many respects. This is a 5. Straight 5.
Why don't we hear from Sean up in the booth one last time?
Just gonna echo what Ryan said. Great use of money. Great directing. Adam McKay killed it. That's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, another 5. That's a perfect score from Sean. Wow. Unreal.
I think it's his first one.
This might be his favorite movie.
It might be. I don't know. And
Brian picked out his favorite movie.
Straight fives. Well, I might as well.
Okay, go.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a five. I agree that it's Adam McKay's best directed full. Well, I haven't seen Vice, so I can't. I do know that that is pretty well received.
Weirdly, but very similar, but worse. Mm-hmm. It follows a very similar trajectory. It's odd. It starts off in a very similar. It's so crazy, the parallels. But
well,
you don't have to see it.
I might someday. But yeah, I would agree that this is his best directed piece that I've seen. It may be close with Step Brothers, but I think it goes to Talladega Nights because you get like the actual action filming, like the way they filmed these cars, you feel the speed more than you do watching it on a broadcast on Fox or NBC, who have been airing these races for years and years. So they did something special here. And yeah, I think Adam McKay came up with the idea for this movie with Will Ferrell. They wrote it together. He directed the shit out of it. And it's perfect. It's a five for me.
I'm glad I get to bring it home. Oh, go ahead.
I just had a question real quick.
Yeah.
Speaking on direction, and you're talking about how I think it's a great point. You bring up how he shoots like the action in the cars and like the race and makes it fucking exciting. Are there other race movies outside of like this and Days of Thunder? I can't think of many others. So like, I think no, that alone makes this kind of special. You get
the Cars universe, but the that's Cars animated, universe. So it's not okay. Quite the same.
I've seen a lot of racing movies. Most of them suck. Driven with Sylvester Stallone, garbage.
Of course, you but know Ron the Stallone Howard
did
movie.
A really good one about the F1 racers with Thor. I can't think of his name.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
Rush.
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, yeah. Rush. That's Rush. That's actually and a Daniel really Brühl. Nice, that's yeah. a really good yeah. one. That really I feel like does a lot.
When you get into major motion pictures, you get a lot of Formula One movies and not so many NASCAR movies.
NASCAR, no. If you're going straight race, also the Christian Bale, Matt Damon one about the Le Mans 24-hour with the Ford Mustang. Yeah. Fantastic fucking movie, dude.
Ford v Ferrari.
I've not seen that one.
Ford v Ferrari. You haven't? Dude, that's a is it, really, really good James Mangold, movie.
Right?
I think so.
That sounds right, but don't.
Yeah.
Don't quote
me. Don't quote me, boy. I ain't said shit. ain't
what do you think, Craig? Shit. Nothing? Ah, okay.
No, there are good ones. There are, like I said, Driven is terrible. Have you guys ever seen Driven?
No.
No.
Yeah, no. It's bad, dude.
Tend to see Stallone's name attached to something. I'm like, not for me. Thank you.
I think he even produced it.
Yeah.
Like his whole bit in the movie, they're like, he's fucking, number one, Stallone, this massive swollen monkey of a human being fits into an F1 cockpit. Believability broken right there. But then, like, his whole big secret thing is when he's driving, he hums to himself. And, like, people are on the radio, and, like, the girl's like, what is he doing? And the pit crew boss is like, it's how he hits the rhythm. He hums to himself, and he feels the car. It's so fucking stupid.
That's so dumb.
He picks up dimes. Oh, God damn it. Now, we might have to watch it at some point. Now.
I think there was a movie about Dale Earnhardt that came out, too. Like a biopic that was fine. What?
I feel like I've blacked that out entirely from my memory. I don't remember a Dale Earnhardt biopic.
I don't remember
biopic.
An Earnhardt Bale.
Oh, I think it was just called 3.
Of course it would
was
be.
Was it that also on sense, one of like the Christian direct-to-video or direct-to-streaming?
I was like, it's probably after 41 came out, the Jackie
J.K.
Robinson
Simmons
one.
Was in it, so.
J.K. Simmons was in a Dale Earnhardt biopic? Ooh.
Yeah, Barry Tom Pepper Petty? Played Dale Earnhardt, so.
I have to look into this.
You know, there's your famous lead, Barry Pepper.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's number what I'm doing one, next
heartthrob.
We loved him in Crawl.
I did like that movie.
Yeah, I like Crawl a lot. I don't remember Barry Pepper in it. I guess he was the dad who's not important.
Yeah, he gets fucked up in the leg and then spends the whole movie bitching.
Ah, oh, that was him.
Oh, okay.
Shut up, Dad. Anyways, back to this movie and director, now that I have the floor, Surprise. I was making a joke where I was going to make you think I didn't love it. But no, of course. It's a 5. I can't believe the absolute price of this movie. He directed the tits off this fucking thing, dude. $72.5 million. All of this NASCAR shit, dude. This thing could have ballooned out and been just a mess to watch. And it is not. It's tight. It's even for like improv comedy, like everything is like moves along. It flows. It's enjoyable. Again, the fucking scale of this movie. Sports movies do not look this good. This is perfect. It captures it. He nailed this motherfucker, dude.
I didn't consider the budget of the movie.
It's insane. And he just like had it and used it well. Succeeded.
Yeah.
Great directing, man. It has to be perfect.
Crash millions of dollars worth of cars.
And everybody was like, yeah, it's awesome. We love this part. Let's do it. Here's how it'll look the best. Just great shit, man. All the camera angles, like you said, with the cars, there's so many where they've like got them on the side of the car next, like inches above the asphalt, and like other cars come up and pass, and it's like better than Days of Thunder, which was so great. It had a King's Island ride.
Yeah.
Good ride.
It was a great ride. It was the 3D movie.
I loved that fucking thing, dude. I rode it every year, sometimes twice.
It was it was replaced by the James Bond one. By us. No, it was great. It was fantastic.
I never wrote it. I just hate it because it's not Days of Thunder. So,
so much better. Give me Cole Trickle.
Old Dick Trickle. Oh, Cole. No, yeah, 5. Absolutely. Perfection. Adam McKay, you nailed this son of a bitch, dude. So.
Well, there you have it. Well, if it weren't for the story, losing a few points there, this almost would have been perfect. But our total score is an egregious 98.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, my 6 made up for my 4. So I am, this is the first perfect and probably the only perfect I will give. I love this movie. I think it's, if we're going by comedies and like ratio of laugh per minute, this is like a 30 Rock or Arrested Development where you are getting a wealth of jokes for what you're giving in your time. This is so good. This is such a fucking good comedy.
Like 30 Rock, it had an SNL writer attached and had Jack McBrayer in it, so.
Yep.
And well, is Will
Ferrell only Jack McBrayer, nobody else.
Will Ferrell does show up on 30 Rock. He cameos as the main character in Bitch Hunter.
That is right. He is the Bitch Hunter. Goddamn, what a great bit. What a great
If I wasn't actively rewatching 30 Rock right now, I would not have been able to tell you that.
But as soon as you said it, he's in the leather jacket, he gets the shotgun, and he cocks it. Goddamn. Funniest so man. When people say they don't like Will Ferrell, that's one of the things I'm like, I step back a bit. I'm like, how? Yeah. I don't get it.
This was Will Ferrell's best opening box office until the Lego movie.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Lego movie also fucking rips.
It's such a good movie.
And then he did the same thing again in Barbie, which is another huge success hit. Made tons of money. If it ain't broke,
don't fix it, baby.
He is a money maker.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Did you see his documentary he did with his buddy from SNL?
I haven't watched it yet, but I heard about that. Yeah,
did, and I have a lot of thoughts. And have you seen it? You said, Brian, you haven't yet.
I liked it. Yeah,
I've got some issues with it. I like a lot of it. I think it is Harper's story, and I think he can't help but put himself in their story a bit too much. And like, there was like one specific moment where a big event happens and the media gets a hold of it. And then like the next 10 minutes are devoted to how Will Ferrell feels about it. And I'm like, dude, this is not your movie. Like I don't care how you feel in the moment for this stuff when like somebody else is under attack. And there's a bit of ego, I will say. I felt like I noticed from Will Ferrell there, and I don't know.
See, I didn't know.
Bummed me out a bit.
I didn't know if it was ego or, again, if it was, if maybe Harper just didn't want to speak on it as much.
That, or a lack of faith that if we don't have more Will Ferrell, it's not going to sell to audiences or something. Mm-hmm. But there's, I've got some conflicted feelings. I'd say, sure. Agreed, I mostly liked it, but it, for what it was trying to do, I wish it was able to do a bit more. I hate that.
It's just a Netflix thing. They always fucking undersell everything. They're, I blame it on that more.
Netflix documentaries are the worst. Mm-hmm.
They get buried so bad by the algorithm.
It's because there's 200 released every week.
Mm-hmm. And the only good one was Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Let's not kid ourselves.
The Queen of Versailles was also very good.
That also is, Mandy does love that one. That's a good one. Wild ride.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild ride.
All right, and then there's literally thousands of others.
Have you never seen either of those, Brian?
Nope, I have not.
Two of the greatest documentaries I've ever seen.
And Exit Through the Gift Shop and The Imposter. I have seen Exit Through the Gift Shop. I would say those are top four documentaries of all time. American Movie, top five documentaries of all time.
Jiro Dreams of Sushi is really fucking good. It's literally about this old man in Japan who just every day wants to make the perfect piece of sushi. It's all he fucking lives for. It's a great, great dedication.
Nice.
But hey!
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 Talladega Nights.
Hey!
Wait, do we cut to Sean?
Yeah, let's get the closing thoughts from the broadcast booth. Send it to Sean.
Yeah, thanks again, Brian. This was a fantastic pick. I'm glad that you picked this for not only me, but all of our fantastic listeners. And all of our fantastic listeners, thank you so much for, well, listening. You clearly like to party, just like I like my Jesus to party. So if you want to party with us, come on over to our Discord. Join. It's going to be right in our show link right down there in the bottom. You'll find a Facebook, the Discord. You're going to find a Patreon, patreon.com/experiencegrind, where for as little as $1 a month, you can go ahead and find a bonus episode every single week. So head on over to the scrap and back to you, boys. Thanks again.
Wow, and a perfect 5 on the plugs. Well done, Sean.
So that's it for Talladega Nights then. Ryan, what are we talking about next week?
Well, because I just can't help but do a normal episode and have to do some weird fucking shit. I want to do another music episode, but this past week and this coming weekend, by the time this comes out, the past two weekends, Coachella has aired, and I have been fucking addicted to tuning in and catching as many live acts as I can. And I love the idea of concerts. Music concerts are so fucking cool. Next week, I want each of you boys to make your own festival. You've got a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to fill. I want like your big headliners, one headliner for each night. And then whatever else follows underneath it, you'll mention. We'll have like one music sample for the headliner. Everything else is just like you'll mention as like building the themes and stuff. But it can be anything you want, any theme you want, whatever you want. Just make a festival. I want your music festivals.
Okay.
I like that you come with this one with a week. This might be the one where I'm honestly like, I go Brian Sean list crazy.
I love
it. For a whole festival? Yeah, this is going to be labor intensive.
It can be as intensive or as minimalistic as you want. If you only want 3 fucking bands, that's fine by me. Those are your headliners and that's it. And maybe that's the theme.
You have given me immense power, my friend, and I will create the ultimate festival for myself.
Yes, I want to hear
I'm pretty hyped.
I want to know what Kyle Fest 26 is. What is that?
I wrote
this is
music
the first
fest.
Year I'm not going to When We Were Young, so this will fill the void, I think. Nice. Planning a hypothetical Brian Fest.
Yeah. Oh, I want to plug. Hey. It came back, and I had a lot of fun with it, so I want to get it out there with Sean's plugs before we go. TRL, it's back every other Tuesday. Come hang out. These episodes come out on Monday. TRL is on Tuesday, but every other one. Is it happening now? I don't know. If it's Tuesday, go to twitch.com/experiencegrind. If I'm on there, it's happening now. If it's not on there, you got to send us $5 on Patreon because you got pranked.
Got him.
And the Patreon link is in the plug Sean read from the booth. And that's it. Thanks, Brian, for this. Take us out, buddy.
Do you have something, Ryan?
Yeah, one more plug. We're also doing the Experience Grind movie nights in Discord. So if you haven't joined Discord yet, Sean has plugged it. Join. Last time we watched one of them days with Kiki Such Palmer and SZA. Kyle can attest. It was fucking so fun. What a fun movie. And we're going to be doing something interesting next week, too. So that's Friday nights, I think, is seeming like the night we're doing those. So keep an eye out and join the Discord.
Definitely. Follow that link in the description to the Discord. A lot of fun stuff happening on there. But until next week, listeners, we love you. And why don't you go first yourself?